Well, good evening. It's good to be with you again in a leaven for preaching of the gospel this evening. I want to start by, I guess, asking you a question. Probably quite a personal question. Probably a question you should never especially ask a lady. Question is, what weight are you? You might say, well, that's a very rude question to ask. What weight are you? You know, I guess as we go into summer, everybody's thinking about holidays just now. Everybody's thinking about having to hit the beach and having to look the part on the beach. And I guess as you read through the papers, every time you open them, it drops one of your pamphlets about things like Scottish slimmers and slim fast shakes and fat clubs and gut busters and obesity levels and BMIs and cholesterol levels and diets and zero carbs. And these things seem to be everywhere. And it's all about what weight are you? You know, I don't know about you, certainly I know my routine is on a Saturday morning. Saturday morning seems to be the day that I seem to weigh myself. For, I don't know what reason it is a Saturday morning. But have you showered and then you go and weigh yourself to see what difference has been in that previous week? Have you put weight on or have you lost weight? And that seems to be my day for doing it. And, you know, I hear excuses that people use. You know, they've got heavy bones or they've got a slow metabolism. I would say it's down to crisps and Coke and chocolate bars more often than not than the slow metabolism and heavy bones. But, you know, the Bible talks about weight as well. And that's what I want to talk about this evening. And what does God say about our weight? And see if there's anything we'll learn from that. We're going to read, first of all, in the book of Daniel. Daniel in chapter 5. We'll learn a little bit of foreign language this evening as well, so don't say we're not good to you. A bit of foreign language, Daniel chapter 5 and verse 25. Daniel chapter 5 verse 25, and this is the writing that was written. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then down to verse 30. In that night was Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, slain. I guess I want to focus this evening just on that one verse. Verse number 27. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. You know, I guess I need to set the scene for you with regard to where these verses came from and what they're actually referring to. Well, this man Belshazzar was obviously the king of this country of Babylon. Very, very large country, very, very prosperous country. And he had all the money he could possibly want. And he had all the possessions he possibly could want. And I guess he was what you would call a self-made man. He had everything he wanted for nothing as far as he could see. This evening, though, he decided to have a great big party, and he invited all his guests, he invited all his stewards along, and he was having the time of his life. Everything seemed to be going so well. Nothing could go against him, this man. And he did something he should never have done. He took some vessels that had been taken from a temple, the temple that was ordained for God and for the service of God, and he used those vessels to drink his wine and his alcohol out of. Something he should never have actually done. But I guess he thought to himself, they're only vessels, they don't mean anything. The God of Israel, where is he anyway? And he thought he was in control. I don't know how it happens. I don't know whether he suddenly thought to himself, I've definitely drunk too much. But suddenly there appeared on the wall a hand. And this hand started to write in the plasterboard. And it wrote these words that we've read this evening, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. And you know, he couldn't understand what these words meant. And eventually a man had to come and interpret them for him, and he gave him the interpretation of those words. And it must have cut to the very heart of this man. It must have been such a shock to this man when he heard the interpretation. Thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. You know, friends, this man Belshazzar is not unlike you this evening, and he's not unlike me. You see, you and I could put ourselves in the same place as that man Belshazzar. And God would say exactly the same thing about you and exactly the same thing about me. Weighed in the balances and found wanting. You say, well, why? What had this man done wrong? Was this man such a bad man? And you then maybe say, well, what about me? What have I done wrong? Am I such a bad person? You know, the Bible simply tells me, and it gives no way out, it gives no exception clause, it gives no excuse. It simply says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not some, not many, not most, all. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It says elsewhere that sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth destruction. You might say, is sin serious? Sin is the biggest problem you will ever have. No medical problems, no physical problems, no mental problems are bigger than the biggest problem you will ever have, the problem of your sin. You see, why is sin so serious? Sin is so serious because it's taking you to that place called hell. You know, hell is not somewhere that's made up for stories. Hell is not somewhere that was made up. I love this maybe idea of the devil with his horn, because let me tell you, hell is nothing like that. The Bible tells me it is a place of punishment and torment for those who are still in their sin. Those who have not got a saviour. You say, well, you know, looking at my life, you know, there's really not that much wrong about me. The occasional sin here or there. The occasional lie. Surely God wouldn't keep me out of heaven on the basis of one lie or one sin. You know, in Bible class today up in Perth, we were looking at the subject of the fall as found in Genesis. And you remember Adam and Eve? Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And they were told there was one tree they couldn't eat of, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they took of the fruit, and they ate of the fruit, and they became sinners. Do you know what happened to Adam and Eve because of that sin? They could no longer be in the Garden of Eden. They could no longer be where God was. And therefore, friends, this evening, if you are still in your sins, even just one or two sins, just a handful of sins, let me tell you, those sins will keep you out of heaven. That's how serious sin is. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth destruction. You know, maybe you look at your life and you say, well, really, Scott, you know nothing about me. You don't know my background. You don't know what my bringing up. You know nothing about me. And you're right, I don't. I know nothing about you at all. All I can tell you is what God says about you, that all have sinned. You know, I guess I was to go out into the streets of Inner Leaven this evening if I could find two people that are hanging about and sort of say, you know, friends, do you think you're going to heaven? I would guess that most would say, yeah, I'll be in heaven one day. I'll get there. I think I'd say to them, well, on what basis? Why will you be in heaven? I would guess most would say, well, you know something, I'm not that bad. I'm a pretty good person. I would do my best. I would do nobody any wrong, and maybe that's you this evening. Maybe that's what you would say. Maybe that's how you would justify your way into heaven. Let me tell you, friends, if you've not got a saviour, and you've not got my saviour, Lord Jesus, as your saviour, you will never be in heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You will not get there your own way. You will not get there through grim determination and trying your hardest and holding out and trying to be a good person. You are but doomed to fail if that's what you're looking to do this evening. You know, this man Belshazzar, he was a wicked man. He had done much wrong. And he was weighed in the balances and found wanting. You know, there was another man in Scripture, a man called the rich young ruler. And he was able to come to Lord Jesus one day and he said, you know something, I've kept all the commandments. You know, I couldn't say that. This man was able to say, I have kept all the commandments. And he thought he was good enough to get into heaven. But you know something, that young man put something between God and himself. He put his possessions first. You know, if you're going to come to the Lord Jesus this evening, there can be nothing else more important in your life than him. He must be the be-all and end-all of your life. That's what needs to happen for you to be saved this evening. And for that young man, he felt the cost was too much. You see, friends, this evening, the God we are dealing with, he is not like you and I. He is not somebody who makes mistakes and fails. The God we are dealing with tonight is absolutely holy. He is absolutely perfect. He is absolutely just. And he must punish sin. Sins must be punished. You know, if my God was able to sweep sin underneath a carpet, he wouldn't be God. But you know, friends, this evening, you can be saved. You can have your sins forgiven. You can be weighed in the balances and not found wanting. But you need the Lord Jesus. You know, it's quite sobering that, you know, the Bible describes the very best of our deeds. The best efforts we go through and the best you know, effort we actually make. And what does God describe it? He describes it as filthy rags. That's what God describes it as. That's all it's good for, is a filthy rag. One that you maybe just discard and put in the bin, and God says that's the very best of your deeds, and it's filthy rags. And so we don't measure up to God's standard. We fall short of God's standard. We're weighed the balances and found wanting. What weight are you? Which side of the scales do you fall upon? Weighed in the balances and found wanting. Let's turn to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah in chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. We thought first of all this evening about, I guess, our weight, the weight of sin that we have, the burden that's upon our back. You know, you remember back to Pilgrim's Progress in Pilgrim, you remember he had that sack of sin upon his back and it weighed him down. And what did he need? He needed somebody to take that sack of sin away. You know, the wonderful news of Isaiah chapter 53 is that there was someone who could take that sin away. There was someone who could take that weight off my shoulders and bear it upon himself. There was somebody who could take the sin off your shoulders and take it away. But you know, that person had to be somebody who had not only not sinned, but somebody who could not sin. And you know, friends, there only ever was one person who filled that criteria. There only was one person that not only didn't sin, but couldn't sin, and it was the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he wasn't like you or I. He wasn't tempted by things. He didn't make mistakes. There wasn't flaws in his character. He never lost his temper. He was a man who was utterly perfect. Why? Because the Bible tells me he was the Son of God. He was as much God as God the Father was. And yet wonderfully, he left heaven. He left the glory and the splendor of that place. Why? Because he loved me and because he loved you. And he left that glorious place, that wonderful place, coming into this world, to come into a world where he was rejected. I always say a man of sorrows and a man who was rejected. I wonder this evening if you're rejecting him. I wonder this evening if you've come into this hall many times before. Maybe you've heard the gospel message preached. You know you need to be saved. But time and time again you've walked out without him. You know, you are as much rejecting him as the men who laid the scourge upon his back, as the men who buffeted his face. I wonder if you're one that's rejecting him this evening. You know, the Son of God, he came with that purpose and plan, and that purpose and plan meant Calvary. It meant the cross. You know, we hear some wonderful things of what he did, the miracles that he achieved, the feeding of the 5,000, men who were dead were brought back to life by him. But the most incredible work he ever did was at Calvary. The most amazing thing he ever did was at Calvary. You know, at Calvary's cross, the Bible says that the men did their very worst to him. At the say of what he did to him, his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. I wonder if you can just imagine a face that was so marred, so disfigured, because men did their very worst to him. A back that felt that scourge going up and down it time after time after time, as men did their worst to him. But you know, friends, the sufferings he felt at the hands of men did not pay for sin. Did not pay for the price of sin. You know, my sins could not be inflicted on the Lord Jesus by men. And that is why there was 3 hours of darkness upon that cross. 3 hours of darkness that nobody could look into. A supernatural darkness, because it was 12 o'clock in the day, a day when the sun should be at its highest. And yet his world was pitched into darkness. In that darkness, the Bible says, in the verses I've read, God laid upon him the iniquity of us all. God punished his son instead of me. God put my sins upon the Lord Jesus. I wonder if you can see that this evening. I wonder if you can see at Calvary's cross, Christ died for me. Christ was punished for me. I'm sure many in the hall can, but you know, friends, ask yourself. Ask yourself. Don't worry about the person sitting next to you. They're not important. You're the one that's important this evening. Have you ever believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you ever had your sins forgiven? You know, Christ paid for my sins in 3 hours on Calvary's cross. That leaves you with a choice this evening. What are you going to do with the Lord Jesus? Are you going to say, Lord, thank you for dying for my sins? Thank you for taking my place. Or are you going to say, I'm going to suffer from my own sins myself? You know, friend, this evening, if you take that choice, you will not be suffering for sins for 3 hours. You will suffer for sins forever. And forever. And forever. You see, friends, it will take that long to pay for your sins. What an awful prospect that you could be sitting in this hall this evening without Christ as your saviour. You know, he's done the work. The work is finished. He cried, it's finished. There was nothing else to be done. The work now needs to be repeated. It was utterly perfect. All you've got to do is to believe it. Maybe that's too simple for you this evening. Maybe you say there must be more to it. There's got to be something that I've got to do. You know, friends, the minute you try to start adding to it, you will never be saved. Because the work of Calvary is not about you, it's all about him. Because Christ died for my sins. There's nothing I can do to get to heaven. If I try myself, I'll never be there. But at the age of 9 years of age, I simply asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be my own and personal saviour. 9 years of age. You know what that tells me? That tells me that every single person in this hall could be saved. I wasn't the brightest 9-year-old kid by any stretch of the imagination. And that means that you can be saved this evening. You've no excuse. And in hell there will be no excuses. You'll not be able to say, why did you send me here, God? God sends nobody to hell. You choose to be in hell. It is your choice. And again this evening, I wonder what choice you'll make. Will you choose the Saviour? Or will you choose your sins? Or will you choose heaven? Or will you choose hell? It's as stark as that this evening. There is no middle ground. It's heaven or hell. The Saviour or your sins. I wonder what your choice will be. You know, there was a man in the Bible. And he found himself in the most, I guess you would say, almost the world would say, a lucky position. Of all the people to be crucified beside, this man, a thief, who does he find himself hanging beside? Find himself hanging beside the Lord Jesus. What a wonderful opportunity this man had at the very end of life. Hours before he was going to go out into eternity, he is hanging beside the Lord Jesus. You know, the thief on the cross, he could do nothing for himself. He couldn't take nails out of his hands and his feet and change his ways. There was no point calling for a priest or a minister or a lawyer. It was all too late for that. It was too late to start going to church, to be baptized, to join a church. But what did he do? He turned to the person that could save him. And he simply said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You would say, surely the Lord will not see a man like that. A man who's a thief. A man who's broken all the rules. A man who had done people harm. Surely God wouldn't save a man like that. What did God say to him? Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. I don't know you. And maybe you don't know me. But let me say, there's nobody too bad for God. But there is nobody that has gone too far from God. Christ died for sin. Christ could have died for your sin if you trust him this evening. I wonder if you'll do that. So there's a weight that was placed upon the Lord Jesus. Well, let's finish by reading in the book of Hebrews and chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 15, and really just the middle part of the verse. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Preacher's license. The first two weights were actually spelled W-E-I-G-H-T. Our third weight this evening is spelled W-A-I-T. I wonder if you're going to wait. I wonder if you're going to say, another week. Maybe next Sunday. Maybe when I'm older. Maybe when I've got more time on my hands. Then I'll get right with God. Then I'll make things sure and certain. Then I'll get saved. Let me just urge you, friend, this evening that God's offer of salvation is for now. The Bible doesn't even say today. Bill says now. You leave this hall without the Saviour at your peril. I cannot promise you that there will be a Sunday service next week. I cannot promise you you will see tomorrow. I hope when you lay your head on your pillow this evening, you will wake up tomorrow. But for many around this world, they won't. Tonight, they will pass out into eternity. But the warning is, and God gives us it, that now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Maybe you're saying, what's the rush? Why hurry into these things? There's plenty of time. And maybe you've got it all planned out. Maybe you've got this idea that on your deathbed, you'll cry unto God for salvation. Some do. And wonderfully, God still saves them. But many don't have a deathbed. Many are taken very suddenly. Many it happens when they're least expecting it. And that could be you this evening. You know, the Bible does warn me. It says, what is your life? It is but a vapour which appears for a moment and vanishes away forever. Life is short for every one of us. On Thursday this week, I stood beside the graveside of my late grandmother, who passed away last weekend. 91 years of age. A long life. Saved as a young girl, trusting in the Lord Jesus. I spoke at the graveside, and we spoke about it, and we said, about that graveside, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And for my granny, that was very true. You know, there is no sting in death for her. There was no victory in the grave. Because I know that the Bible quite promises me that absent from the body, I'm present with the Lord, which is not far better, but very far better. You know, that's the hope for all those of us who are Christians in this hall this evening. Whatever happens to us, we're going to be with the Lord in heaven, which is so far better than this place we're in just now. And so there's nothing to fear in death. But let me just say that if you're out of Christ and you're not saved, there's everything to fear in death. Death is the most awful of prospects for you. Because death will end the time that you can be saved. You know, there's a man in the Bible, and he has passed from death, from life unto death. And he now finds himself in hell. He finds himself lost, separated from God. And for him, there is no hope. There's no way back. There's no way out. What an awful prospect for you this evening. If that's where you find yourself. Oh, the great joy that can be ours this evening if we're trusting in the Lord Jesus. We know our sins are forgiven, and we're going to spend eternity with himself in heaven. You know, I'll leave you with one final warning before we finish this evening. And it's a great prospect for those of us who are Christians. Something that I'm sure we're all looking forward to. A promise that the Lord Jesus Christ left. He said, I will come again. You know, he said that nearly 2,000 years ago. And you might say, well, he's not very good at keeping his promises. Do you know what it tells me? It tells me that he has given you a chance again to get saved. That his offer of mercy and his offer of grace has been extended for yet another evening. But you know something? He could come tonight. He could come before this meeting finishes. We were speaking about this a couple of weeks ago in Perth, about the coming again of the Lord Jesus, and it's a subject in its own right. I'm not going to speak about it this evening. But he could come this evening. And if he came this evening, let me tell you, the Christians will go through this roof quicker than you can imagine. And we're not going to worry about the plasterboard. We're not going to worry about the heads. You know, our bodies are going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And we're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven forever. I wonder if that was to happen just now. I wonder if you'd be left sitting in your seat. Left behind. No more gospel meetings in a leaving. No more preaching of the gospel. Opportunity over. Time up. Whatever way you want to put it. Friends, Bible says, get right with the Lord Jesus now. Don't put it off. Don't waste time. Friends, I finish off just by asking the question, what weight are you? Have you still got that weight of sins? Have you ever pushed that weight and placed it on the Lord Jesus and said at Calvary, he took my weight of sins? Or are you going to wait and wait and wait and wait and maybe be too late? Maybe next time you step on your scales at home and you weigh yourself, you just remember the weight of sin that every one of us has. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And he can save you this evening. He can take that weight away if you simply trust him and make him your own personal saviour. We'll close our meeting now with just a word of prayer. Our God and our Father, we would again just go out at the end of our time together and give you thanks again for our Saviour Lord Jesus. We give you thanks for the one indeed who went all the way to Calvary. We rejoice we indeed have a Saviour, one indeed who loved us and died for us. And our prayer, Father, again this evening is if there's anybody in this gathering who as yet has not trusted in thy Son, even today, who place faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We give you thanks for each and everyone who's gathered out this evening. We give you thanks for the promise of Scripture that we're coming again. And we would be with John of old, even so come, Lord Jesus. We give you thanks that he would come tonight and take us with himself in heaven. But our Father, we would again just pray that thou would indeed have mercy upon the souls of men and women in this hall this evening who as yet have not trusted in thy Son. And so, our Father, we give you thanks for this time we've had this evening. Part us now with thy blessing. We again just give you thanks for thy Son, Lord Jesus, in his lovely and his precious name. Amen. Finish with a couple of verses, number 237, before we finish this evening. Number 237. O come, sinner, come to his mercy's call, here at Jesus' feet, O come in repenting, lay thy all down at Jesus' feet, O come, bless the Lord, there's room for thee, here at Jesus' feet, the burden of sin, whatever it be, lay at Jesus' feet. We'll sing the first and last, just keeping our seats of 237, then our meeting is completely over. If there's anything I've said this evening that's not been clear, it's not made any sense, please do not leave this evening without getting things right with God. It's too important to put off for another evening. You know, lay your burden at Jesus' feet. We're going to sing it this evening. Again, just keeping our seats, first and last, number 237.